coming up next on Lutheran Radio UK.
Worth doing badly. Welcome back to Worth Doing Badly with me, Jamie Krieger, and David Weber. This coming Sunday is the seventh Sunday in the season of Easter of the church year, but we will instead be looking at the lessons for the ascension of our Lord. And the readings are from Acts 1 verses 1 through 11, the Psalm is 47, the epistle reading is from Paul's letter to the Ephesians, the first chapter, verses 15 through 23. And the gospel is from Luke 24, verses 44 through 53. And here is David Weber.
Thank you. Yeah, many churches are recognizing the importance of celebrating the Ascension and moving it from a Thursday service to what would essentially be Easter 7. And so that's what we're following here, recognizing that the Ascension is kind of the exclamation point on the Incarnation. This is what finishes off the work that began at Christmas. So with the Ascension, we have a better understanding now of why Jesus refused to save himself by coming down from the cross. The Ascension indicates that the direction of salvation is upward and not downward from the cross. The cross does not falsify Christ's promise of salvation. Salvation isn't a matter of saving ourselves. It's not a matter of getting down or getting away from suffering. The Ascension shows that the lowest point of the crucifixion was the ground zero of our ascent into eternal life. So Christ's salvation would not be forced on the world. And from now on, the ascent of this salvation would happen by the Holy Spirit's enlivening individual souls with faith, hope, and love, by revealing to them the mystery of Christ's speaking and hearing. So in Acts, the disciples expressed their hope that now that Christ had been resurrected, he would establish his kingdom in a more forceful and material way. And once again, Jesus dismissing their stubborn infatuation with fallen and falling material world, he sent them off into the world preaching the message of repentance and forgiveness, putting people on the path of salvation, which is a path of ascension, and which is our heart's deepest desire for a life that does not end. Now, the psalm makes it quite clear that our joy depends upon God having gone up. The God who came to earth from heaven must return back to heaven for this salvation to be complete. The Incarnation was running a circuit. It was completing the circle. It was reconnecting us to our heart's desire. For all that is still wrong in this fallen and falling world, the fact that God has gone up means that he is, in fact, King of all the earth. And if God is King of all the earth, and if his kingdom is not at all like the disciples wanted, but a kingdom that has no end, that's the reason why we sing a joyous song. And so even when we are crushed, as at Christ's crucifixion, Christ himself, having suffered that, having suffered on the cross, gives to each of us our own personal cross, not so that we can escape from suffering, but so that our suffering can be like his, that cross transforms our personal suffering into our ground zero, which is not the end of our life. It's the beginning of our ascent into life eternal. Now, in the book of Acts, the coming of the kingdom begins to take shape. And as indicated in the gospel, this kingdom is very different than what the disciples wanted or could even imagine. And Jesus says to them, you will be my witnesses. This is how the kingdom will advance, not by a force of power, but by its attractiveness, having this beauty to it that would both attract people, and it had this element of being able to draw them with this message that had an intellectual content. So the disciples desired earth-changing powers, and instead God gave them a soul-transforming message. And certainly they were disappointed by this until they realized the superiority of this salvation to yet another failed worldly salvation. I think the church will always find it difficult to believe that Jesus entrusted the movement of salvation to a weak and humble message proclaimed by weak and humble witnesses. What was Christ thinking? I think that we oftentimes wonder. We will always desire a salvation that is materially impressive, in which one's salvation, in which one saves his or her life by avoiding crosses and avoiding crushing experiences. The angelic admonition to those disciples is to quit looking and start living in the new reality of the Spirit. And in that Spirit, which we will deal more with Pentecost, the Spirit will be working through our weaknesses, our errors, even our evil. And in repentance and forgiveness, this kingdom would spread throughout the world. They are to get on with their calling. And the disciples are to get used to the fact that the world has now changed forever. And that change was utterly completed with Christ's ascension. The circuit has been connected, and now the energy of the Holy Spirit was ready to run through the world. Now, Paul interprets this, as always, and says, here's how the kingdom advances. It's when the eyes of the individual hearts are enlightened. So in other words, Paul says right there, you know what we really desire? We don't desire to escape from suffering. We don't desire great wealth. We don't desire continuous pleasure. It may seem so. Advertisers count on it. But Paul says, you know what humans really desire? Is to have understanding, to have the eyes of your hearts enlightened. And that's why he says Christ works the way that he does. He is revealing to us the truth and how the truth sets us free. We desire this kind of enlightenment and understanding. So Paul describes the Spirit's work as giving us wisdom and insight, so that the eyes of our hearts will be open and will have this hope. You know, at times when hopelessness is pervasive, we need to know what heart eyes are and how they are enlightened. We don't use this metaphor anymore, the eyes of the heart, but it's kind of funny to think of the heart having sight. It's a sight that gives hope at moments of deep hopelessness. So the answer is connected to the meaning of Christ's ascension. Paul hopes for an inner strength, and not today as a vague optimism or a desperate wish. Hope is based on knowing that Jesus's cross finished something. It wasn't the end of salvation like it had cut it off before its time. Jesus said it is finished, which means that his cross really did complete the circuit, that salvation was secured, and that finished salvation was confirmed by the resurrection and the exclamation point put on by the ascension. Hope is a kind of seeing. It's a kind of enlightenment. It's a kind of knowing and understanding that it requires that the heart has eyes. This is where God's kingdom is advancing, within the individual heart. Now, it sounds anatomically absurd to speak of the heart having eyes, but it makes perfect spiritual sense to those who talk about having heavy hearts, hearts filled with despair, hearts that need to be lifted up to the Lord in order for the lightness of salvation to again bring hope to the individual. This is an enlightening that happens within each heart. Even though the disciples wanted a mass production, a big event of the kingdom of God, Christ made it clear by at his ascension that what he most valued, what heaven most enjoys, is when the single individual comes to see with the eyes of the heart the truth, the liberating truth of Christ's salvation.
Thank you, David, and thank you for listening. All the podcasts from this series, Worth Doing Badly, are available from our website, lutheranradio.co.uk. Try our app. Go to the App Store or Google Play and get the one that is right for you for free. If you have any questions or comments about our program or any other programs on our schedule, write me an email to manager@lutheranradio.co.uk. David and I will be back next week at this same time. Stay on for more here on Lutheran Radio UK.